On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, I want to go rewind and just talk some of the basics because I think it's important. We've got a whole bunch of new listeners around here, and I always come back this week. We've got like 300 and some episodes now, so let's just jump right into it. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy, hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Hop Nerd Podcast. The Hop Nerd LLC, the Hop Nerd Sideshow, the HopNerd.com, anything that says like the Hop Nerd on. I am your host, Sam Goodman. I am cold brewed up. And as I mentioned, there are many, many, many new listeners here to the show. That's the cool thing about doing the podcast, and especially in this space that we're in of approaching things a bit differently, as we call it around here, at least human and organizational performance. We get a lot of new folks regularly. There are folks out there that have been listening to this podcast since the day it was born, years and years and years ago now, which is kind of wild to say, right? That's pretty wild. But I need to tell the folks out there that are new that I am addicted to cold brew coffee. In fact, I have two. I have two in front of me right now. And for everyone out there, not just the new and old alike, all of our awesome, amazing, the best listeners in the history of podcasts, I've got two because I started trying not to go out and get coffee in the mornings. I know that sounds kind of weird. Hold on. I'm going to show you my obsession as I drink some of this cold brew. I try my best not to go out and get coffee in the morning because it's kind of expensive, right? It is. And I try to be as frugal as I possibly can. Many would call that being a bit cheap, but I try my best not to waste money if I can help it. Now, that doesn't make the addiction go away, and I'm horrible at making cold brew at home. I don't know if any of you have tried this or if anyone out there has like a great idea for a recipe. Please let me know, because I've tried multiple times and it always comes out as crap. Like it's like the worst. So please let me know if you know of a way, a great way to make it from scratch, because I've tried, maybe I'm using the wrong coffee blend. Maybe I'm using the wrong technique. I don't know. Let me know. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. Please. If you've got, sorry, I'm getting too excited to smack the microphone, but if you do have some good ideas, let me know. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. So I made a nice cup of cold brew this morning because I ordered cold brew. I order it from Wondering Bear. If you listen to the sideshow, I'll give you some reviews on it because I really do like Wondering Bear cold brew. And I made some coconut cold brew this morning. It's boxed in some of those little fancy pants wine box looking things. At least that's what I'm familiar with coming out of those kind of boxes. But these have coffee. Yeah, better. That's far better. Well, I guess it's coordinated if you're on vacation or not. If you're working, a box full of coffee, I think, is probably better than a box full of wine. I don't know. It might be better if it's a box full of wine, but you might not be working for much longer. So I'm going to stick with a box full of coffee, and it's delicious. So I made one of those this morning, which you can hear it. It's right here. I'm going to open it up in my nice little reusable aluminum or aluminium, my nice little cup here that I reuse every single day. Hold on. Absolutely delicious coconut cold brew. But I had to drop Avery off this morning, and me and Avery have this little bit of a tradition. She likes to go by the coffee shop, and she gets like her little kid's drink, you know, from the coffee shop. And I can't go to a coffee shop and not get a coffee, so I get a coffee. And we sit in the parking lot, and we listen to kids' podcasts for about 20 minutes, right until it's time to drop her off at school, and then we drive around the corner and drop her off at school. It's like our little, you know, daddy-daughter tradition, our little morning ritual that we do when I'm home. I always have to do it because it's freaking awesome, right? How cool is that? She loves it. She gets up extra early, gets ready so we can get out of the door a little early so we can go do that. I don't even have to tell her. I don't even have to ask her. That's just what she does. She's like, I'm ready. I'm ready an hour and a half before school. It's a win-win, right? It's a win-win. I don't have to pry her out of bed. And we get to do this amazing like time together. But I'd already poured this cup of coffee, and I'm not going to pour it out. So I'm just going to do double double the cold brew today. I'm going to feed my addiction today. I've been trying to cut back to one large slash extra large cup a day, and I've been trying my best to just make it or buy it and make it, pour it at home rather than paying like the $8 that it costs to get a cold brew at a coffee shop here nowadays. But with all that said, thanks for being here. And I genuinely mean that when I say that. We have the best folks in this community. Over this last little bit of summer and really back into spring, you know, I've been traveling a whole bunch and I've got to spend time with absolutely so many of you in person because I post where I'm going to be at as much as I possibly can. I let you know, like, hey, I'm going to be in Milwaukee. Anybody in Milwaukee, let me know. We'll go get a cold brew and we'll talk hop or we'll just catch up. And I've got the opportunity to not only spend time with you guys here and so many, 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 many of you jumping on Zooms calls, Teams calls, WebEx calls, Google Meets calls, regular phone calls. Yep, those still exist. Text messages, emails, DMs. We talk a lot, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, you guys are amazing. I love it. We communicate a bunch. And then every now and again, I get to see you in person. I do. And it's so, so much fun. Whether that's, you know, I'm there and you text me and say, hey, there's a great place to get the cheeseburger. Meet me here. I live here and we'll get some coffee and we'll talk hop and it's going to be awesome. Or you call me and you have me come in and do some work within your organization. It's just great to get to see all of you. Speaking of which, and then I'm going to get into today's episode, is it's getting busy already for this fall. And I always feel the need to tell you this because this is what I freaking hate the most. The mostest is you reach out to me like, oh, man, we've got this great opportunity. We're going to do some hop fundamentals. We're going to do a deep dive with their safety folks. We've got this big meeting coming up and we want you to come do a keynote and we really, really, really excited to get you here. But we want this on October or something or another. And then I have to say, look, I'm sorry. I can't because that something or another, that date, is already gone. It's already gone. I try my best, y'all. You know this. Any of you that's worked with me, you know this. I try my best to be as freaking flexible as I can. Many of you, you know, because I tell you, and I do it. I say, like, I will meet you whenever, wherever you need it. Midnight on a Saturday, if that's what your operations needs to be successful, I'm happy to be there. I'm not a 9-to-5er. I'm just not. If you need me there at 2 a.m. on Thursday to teach that group of back shift leaders that for some reason you can't get to day shift operations are wild and crazy, I come and I do that. And I try to do it on a date that you need. But that fall calendar fills up. And spring fills up. And this summer, I was hoping for a light summer, but it filled up. So I just think it's only fair to let you know that if you're looking at specific dates, if you don't have that flexibility at least, getting those dates on there early, getting your preferred dates locked down early is what you got to do. And again, I hate that. That's like the worst is when I have to tell people, nope, sorry, I would love to. That sounds freaking amazing. It's good working for the right reasons. It sounds like a shit ton of fun. And no, I'm sorry. Somebody else has already got your date. It's first come, first serve. So again, if you need that help, if you're looking for that workshop, that facilitator training, that hot fundamentals session from the deep dive stuff to the short stuff to keynotes, I've been spending a lot of time doing keynotes. That's always a blast. Any of that stuff that you need to general consulting, to me coming in and helping you facilitate learning teams, I'm happy to do it. But get on that calendar fast if you're looking for specific dates. And the way you get on that calendar, it's super duper easy. You just send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Let me know what date you're looking at, what you're looking for. We can set up some time to jump on a Zoom call. That's super duper easy as well. Or you can go over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, and you just click schedule an initial consult, and we can chat about it right there. If you want to skip the email, that's super duper easy as well. But the email is the easiest, really, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Now, with all of that being said, I would feel bad not telling you that we've added a whole bunch of cool stuff to the merch shop, too. So make sure you go over to the website, click shop, check out the designs, and we've been putting a lot of work into making safety merch, I think. I don't know. I feel weird calling it safety and hop merch. It's just merch mostly for the podcast, but making it not suck. So go check it out. A lot of those designs are super duper cool. We got some copycat designs, which are kind of funny, and we've got all kinds of other neat stuff over there. And all of it's completely custom, right? So go check it out. We've been working with local artists and folks to make some cool stuff. So with all that being said, let's jump right into today's episode of Getting Back to the Basics. Oh, cold brew, man. Love it. Freaking love. Love my cold brew. So I told you about the Wondering Bear cold brew, but this morning where we normally stop is a place called Dutch Bros. And you probably know Dutch Bros because Dutch Bros has like exploded over the past few years, but Dutch Bros has like my number two go-to cold brew. So number one, it's the only thing I really like at Starbucks, but it is their cold brew, not iced coffee, not nitro cold brew, just like straight up regular black Starbucks cold brew. Number two, Dutch Bros, straight up, extra large, large, whatever the size is, just black Dutch Bros cold brew. Not the nitro, not the crap out of the can, none of that stuff. And then number three in my life right now, and I don't know that it's number three, it's just, I don't know, it's not as, it's good, but Wondering Bear. Wondering Bear's pretty stinking great too, so I'm going to have a drink of that. Coconut cold brew, and I got like a dirty chai cold brew. And I got Jarrell this mocha mint something because he likes like the mocha mint kind of stuff. Not really my jam. I'm not into it, but he is. But yeah, so I'm going to sit here and we're going to have some cold brew together. And as I get readjusted here, sorry for all the extra noise. And we're going to talk some of the basics of human and organization performance. So if you're new here or you've been here for a minute, you're fresh to hop or you've been doing this for a minute, it's always good, I think, to come back to these key principles. To come back to some of the key 10 ideas from 10 ideas to make safety suck less, make sure you check out the book. You can find it on Amazon, blah, 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 you know, that whole thing. And really, I want to start here. I want to start here with what hop means to me. A definition of hop, if you will. And I try my best to post this a bunch because there's a ton of definitions around what hop is. And to me, if I zoom 1,000 foot out and I really say what hop is in a clean definition of what human and organizational performance is. To me, it is a collection of better beliefs and assumptions from diverse and varying sources that we apply through the lens of a key set or a core set of principles. Better beliefs and assumptions. That's really what we're talking about with human and organizational performance. I like the diverse and varying sources bit. I sit down and I wrote this definition out. I wrote it out at some point, trying to really put a sentence together on what it really means to me. Better beliefs and assumptions. That's the start. That's really what we're talking about. We're not talking about a program to manage. We're not talking about a go do this, go do that, a checklist. We're not talking about something that you just pull off a freaking shelf and plug into your organization. We know that. We know that hop's not those things. It's not a program. It's not an initiative. It's none of those things. It's better beliefs and assumptions. It's not so much of what we think, but how we think about things. Yeah, it's that. It's not so much of what we think, but how we think. Now, the diverse and varying sources bit, I think it really pulls in to what human and organizational performance truly is. It's not just these five principles that we spend so much time talking about. It's this full collection of work, this evolution towards doing things not only differently, but better. And what I mean by better is really humanizing our approaches to safety and beyond. Safety is often the catalyst that brings human and organizational performance into organizations. But if you stop there, you're kind of missing the point. If you stop there, you're definitely not getting the full return on your investment, because that's the other part of this is hop's not a safety thing. Hop is a hop thing. If you really wanted to throw out some words on that, some words that are probably wildly overused and probably a little bit buzzwordy, it's really an operational excellence kind of thing. So a collection of better beliefs and assumptions from diverse and varying sources, pulling in all this great work from HRO and traditional safety even, and obviously hop. And safety too, safety differently, resilience, and on and on and on and on. Again, I think of this, it's not this big prescriptive menu. It's a buffet, right? It's so much great work out there that we pull in from all over the place. And then we apply that through that set of key hop principles, that error is normal, blame fixes nothing, context drives behavior, learning is vital. and how we respond matters. And I would say dot, 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 a lot, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, bold, you know, maybe a fly-in on a PowerPoint, you know, like razzle-dazzle, you know, on there, because it's really, really, really super, super, duper, 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 duper important. It's that. To me, that's what human and organizational performance is. Now, if I want to expand that a bit, and I really get to intent, purpose here. We mentioned humanizing our approaches. I think that's base level, right? Treating people like people, treating adults like adults, understanding that our employees aren't dogs that we train with shock collars and clickers and treats. You know, that a lot of those more traditional approaches have not been humanizing. In fact, they've been the opposite. They've been dehumanizing. We viewed people near to the work as less, and those farther up their chains of leadership as more. And really, we're all adults, and we're all equal. We all contribute our part. It's treating adults like adults, not treating them like children. Again, instead of dehumanizing down through our organization and treating up through our organization as almost untouchable royalty, understanding that we're all in this thing together. We're better at learning and improving together, and we're far better off within our world, even not just our work world, but our world, treating each other like the adults that we are and taking good care of each other. And I get in trouble for oversimplifying this. People don't like this that much anymore, I guess. But I don't know. I was raised on the golden rule. I throw this out there and people were like, you guys say the golden rule. That's too simple. I don't know that it's all that too simple. It's pretty freaking hard. But treating people how we would like to be treated. To me, in our world, we talk about industrial empathy, right? Seeking to understand, seeing how it all made sense, but empathizing with people's situations and understanding that they made the choices that they made because there's the choices that they had, and on and on and on and on. Humanizing our approaches rather than dehumanizing them. But if we get to intent of that business purpose, because we've got to have business purpose, right? You can't just do it because it's the right thing to do. If treating people like garbage makes us money, that's what we'll do. That's not true. And for some businesses, that might be true. But for most businesses, no, that's my little knife there. For most businesses, almost every business that I've spent, every business, I have to say, really, every business that I've spent time with, at least, they're doing stuff with the best of intent. They're doing it for the right reasons. They care so much about it that it's almost like the kid with the bunny rabbit's like, I love you so much, I'm going to squeeze you till your head pops off. you gotta be careful. You get into that dehumanizing approach very, very quickly. But to come back to intent and business purpose and what that means to us up through our organization and really just as an organization overall, for me, it's this. When we really believe those assumptions, those beliefs, when we lead through those principles, when we go down this path of what we refer to as human and organizational performance, what you're doing is you're creating an environment in which learning is possible. That's it, really, for me, it's information. We're clearing out the blockages, the clogs, the stuff that creates silence in our organizations. Silence is bad for us. If you didn't know, it's like the worst for us. There's a lot of stuff in our work world that's just scare us, but silence just scares the absolute shit out of us. It is not good for us. Anything that creates silence is bad for us. It's bad for our people, and it is bad for our businesses. It's about that. It's about clearing out those blockages to the free flow of information up and throughout our organization. To me, when we lead, when we go down this path of human and organizational performance, we create an environment in which learning is possible. The better and better and better that we get at. When we look at those principles, when we look at those beliefs, those ideas, those assumptions, and we really believe those things, and we really look at those and we lead through those. We use that as our kind of guiding North Star. Not only post-event, but pre-event and everything in between. It's not only possible, but it becomes more and more and more and more likely. And so we're creating an environment in which learning is not only possible, but it's likely. We're setting the stage for genuine, deep, and meaningful operational learning and improvement. And doing that with those nearest to the things that we're trying to learn more about and improve, because those folks have all the information. Right, it's clearing that roadblock to information. So for me, that's it, right? A collection of better beliefs and assumptions from diverse and varying sources that we apply through the lens of a core set or key set of principles. And when we do that, we create an environment in which learning is possible. When we get really stinking good at it, we create an environment in which learning is not only possible, but it's likely. Those core set of principles being errors, normal, blame, fixes, nothing, context, drives, behavior, learning is vital, and how we respond matters. Error is normal. Air is so normal that it's boring. I've shared this with you a bunch, but I'm going to share it with you again. I share it on social media because it's just how I see things in my brain. I've got to be able to see things in my noggin for it to make sense to me. When we land on air as being the cause, post-event, pre-event, anywhere in between, we see that behavior. We don't like air, problem. When we land on air, mistake, misstep, misjudgment, whatever term we want to throw in there, because when we look for it, we're going to find it. It's probably the one thing that we can depend on in our organization. Instead of saying, duh, of course it's there, and going deeper, we stop there and say, there's the problem, there's the culprit, there's the wrongdoer. We know we're not learning where we need to learn. We're not getting beneath the surface. So back to what I see in my mind, when I hear that we chose blame because of errors, when we look into an event and we say, oh, look, somebody messed up. That's why this thing happened. Somebody messed up. Nothing more to see here. To me, in my mind, what I see is it's like someone handing us this big, old, thick, dusty book, like thick book, like hundreds of pages. And you know it's old because it's got one of those like leather-bound covers on it. It could be so old that maybe the book is like human skin. Those exist. If you want to go on a weird Google, like horrific Google rabbit hole, those are out there. Just letting you know. But it's old. It might not be that old, but it's pretty stinking old. It's got that old leather cover on it. It's worn down. Like the words on the front of it are almost worn down. The book pages are kind of ripped and yellowed out. And the way that I describe this in our workshops is that it's got book stink. And if you don't know what book stink is, you've never been in a library. You know what book stink is. Teaching one of these workshops not that long ago, I was informed that they make candles that are the scent of book stink. Now they call it like rustic library, right? Worn pages, cozy book by the fire, but it's book stink. That's my hibbly-ees. It's book stink. But it's getting that old book that even just looks interesting. You know it's interesting. You know it's interesting. It's old and it's thick and it's been read a whole bunch. It's been used a bunch of crap scribbled on it. It's really interesting. It's like getting that old book, opening it to the first page, reading the first two words in the first sentence of the first paragraph on that first page. It's a human error. It's circling it, underlining it, closing it, putting it back on the shelf and pretending that we know the rest of the story. We know that those first two words, of course, they've got to be there. Of course they're there. But there's stuff that's so much more interesting deeper in that book. The story, the real story, is much deeper in that book. Air is normal. It's so normal that it's boring. It's the beginning, not the end. We know that blame fixes nothing. That blame feels good. Oh, it absolutely does. Our systems are tuned towards blame almost always. They are for sure focused on blame because we like to blame those nearest to it, those that last touched it, those that last stood near it. Yeah, we like all that stuff, but it doesn't fix anything. And I like to reframe that a bit. To me, blame stops learning. It stops learning. Blame's always there. We know that blame is always a choice that we can make. It is always there. We can always go down this path of blame. But we have to understand that when we go down this path of blame, when we choose to blame, shame, retrain, insert pain into this equation, then it makes us know a whole bunch less. It most certainly does. It makes us know a whole bunch less. We're deliberately choosing to know less. And in our work worlds, our complex and complicated work worlds, chock full of volatility and uncertainty, we can't afford to know less. I told you this already. Anything that creates silence, anything that tells people I don't need to say nothing, I need to STFU. Anything that makes me or your employees or anyone else in your organization go, oops, I need to shut the fuck up. Not going to say this. Not going to report this. Not going to talk about this. If I say this, and there was no event, but if I talk about this, I know that this is really near and dear to that VP's heart. And if I say this, they're going to get mad at me and I'm probably going to get demoted. Any of that stuff, anything that creates silence is bad for us. It is bad for our people and it is bad for our businesses. Blame fixes nothing. We can always choose it. It's always there, but it doesn't actually hurt anything. We understand that context drives behavior. That as people, we almost always tend to do things that make sense to us in the moment. Of course we do, because pretty much everybody that you deal with in your work world, and even throughout our normal worlds, most, didn't say all, I said most people are pretty sane, logical creatures. If it didn't make sense to us, we wouldn't do it. We just wouldn't if it didn't make sense to us in that moment. It's easy for us after the fact, after there's some negative outcome, with hindsight, known outcome, all that stuff, to zoom out and go, oh, I would have never. They should have never. Oh, if it were me, of course we do that because that's what we do. That's a bias, right? We do that. Of course we do that. But it doesn't help. doesn't help because it doesn't have to make sense to you. It made sense to them. It made sense to them. Everything made perfect sense until it suddenly didn't make sense anymore. Even when things went wrong, even when things went so wrong that it was tragic, to those folks involved, everything made perfect and total sense, or they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it until it suddenly didn't make sense anymore, until sometimes it suddenly and tragically didn't make sense anymore. Seeking to understand how things made sense, that's a pretty good strategy. That's a pretty good starting point for seeking to understand. That's a pretty good starting point for learning and improvement. I always like to tell people that, especially I get called in a bunch to help with event investigations, like post-event stuff, and especially when it's really not great, right? Those kind of things. And that's usually the first frame that I put on these groups, because it's usually when things go really not great, we know the conference room gets more and more and more full with people investigating, right? We know how this goes. It's usually not just me. It's like me and then 30 people if it's gone real bad. Like, it's not good. But the first frame that I like to put in that room is that. Start from the position, the understanding that this made sense. This made perfect and total sense. Our job is to understand how it made sense. That's our job. Let's start there. Let's start there and then go. It all made perfect and total sense until it suddenly didn't make sense anymore. Let's seek to understand how it made sense. That's a pretty good pathway for learning and improving. We know that learning is vital, that it is a deliberate act, is a choice that we get to make as organizations. Not only post-event. We talk a lot about post-events, as I just did. But it might not be great, but at least our organizations pour a lot of effort into post-event stuff. Like, something goes wrong, most companies are pretty stinking good at going, we're taking time and resources, we're going to understand this. I'm not saying it's perfect. We know it's not perfect. I spend time with you guys. You know, I spend time working in your organizations. I know, we know. Some of those approaches are not so great, but we do prioritize it. Now, the thing that we do not prioritize is learning from normal work. That's part of learning being vital. It can't just be when things hit the fan. It can't just be bad, 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 bad day. It can't be this kind of went wrong. Of course we'll learn there. Duh. Like, of course we learn there. But what about all the other stuff? Pain points, problems, fatalities, all that stuff hide in normal work until they're not hiding in normal work anymore. Seek to understand normal work. We have to carve out the time and space to do that, or it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. We have to carve out the time and space to learn, not only when things go wrong, and then we do an okay job when things go extraordinarily right, like surprisingly right. Sometimes we're like, holy crap, how'd that go so right? We need to understand how that went right, because that shouldn't have went right. And interesting operational surprise, an interesting success, you know, those kind of things. But what about normal everyday work? We have to prioritize that just as much. I mean, just from a data standpoint, there's just far more there. There's just far more there. And then, as we said earlier, how we respond matters, and it matters a lot. It matters a lot. It matters a ton. When you bring me that information that you don't want to have to bring me because you know I don't want to have to hear it, you're already nervous. You're already freaking out because you know Sam doesn't want to hear this, and I definitely don't want to have to tell him this. Good news is good. It's easy, right? The other stuff is not so easy. You're bringing me that stuff that you know I don't want to have to hear. You don't want to have to tell me. This could get weird. When you bring me that information, that operational information, that's really what it is. Let's call it what it is. It's not good. It's not bad. It's nowhere in between. It's just information. When you bring me that information and I freak out, meltdown, pee my pants, when I react emotionally, what I'm really signaling to you that it's just not safe to do that. Your assumptions were correct. You should not have brought me this. your assumptions were spot on. You should not have brought me this because I don't want to hear it. I'm going to make it known that I don't want to hear this. Yeah. Really, what you're telling people, what you're screaming in their face pretty loudly, whether you're saying this exactly or not, you are screaming it in their face. Don't tell me the truth. It's not safe to tell me the truth. Information is just information. The way that we respond when being given the gift of operational information. And it is a gift. I promise you, it's a gift. It doesn't always feel like a gift. It can be scary and it can be weird. It can be bad, but it's information. It is a gift. The way that we respond when being given this gift determines how much we get to learn in the future. Back to that silence thing that we've talked so much about. Do you want people to feel free to bring you the truth? Or do you want them to go more towards what's already their natural state? Our natural state as people is to go towards silence because it's safe. It's not scary. Do you want them to embrace that silence and just not tell you until they have to tell you? Or do you want to create an environment in which you can learn deep and meaningful operational information and learn and improve with those nearest to the work? Now, this is a bit of a part one, because I don't want to just keep hammering you. But we've talked about what HOP is, right? We've talked about that definition of HOP. And again, from my perspective, what that does for us as far as businesses go, the true kind of intent here of those better beliefs and assumptions from diverse and varying sources that we apply through the lens of a core set of principles. And we've talked through the five primary HOP principles. Now, in part two, what I really want to talk to you about, which it will be the next episode, just so you know, I haven't recorded it yet. I'm just winging this. I just don't want to talk to you for another 40 minutes. You go, Sam, STF, like Shanta, I'm already at work, man. Like 30 minutes is enough. Like I'm here. Like I don't want to sit in my car. So I'm saving you from that. On the next one, I really want to talk to you some about the 10. I knocked over my cold brew. I got too excited. Talk to you about some of the 10 ideas and some of the kind of other key concepts here. So again, whether you're new, you've been around for a minute, or you're brand new to the podcast, you're brand new to HOP. The whole point here is that I think it's good to, does that sound like a reverse? Like that. I think it's good to go back. I think it's always good to go back and root ourselves, ground ourselves in these principles, in these ideas, what we're trying to do with them, the definition of those things, because it's so easy to get far, far away from them as we go on our journeys. It's easy to go, yeah, I know all that stuff. I'm into far more complicated and complex things now. But we forget how we got there. We got to go back. I have to go back. I go back all the time. I think it's important to go back and root ourselves in those things and say, yep, this is how we're moving forward. This is the conversations that we're still having. We've got to continue to look at these things as our North Star. This is how we lead. I was in a conversation with Stephen Scott not that long ago. Me and Steve are doing a HOP and operational learning in Las Vegas. If you want to have some really great conversations about HOP fundamentals and operational learning, again, whether you're brand new or you've been doing this for a long time, this is a great session. It's in Las Vegas. It's 2 days. I think it's October 8th and 9th. I'm sorry. Go to thehopnerd.com/event and look. I'm slowly trying to Google while I'm rambling here to you. I don't want to just, screw up this podcast, but I feel really bad about lying to you about the dates because they all run together. So I'm going to thehopnerd.com/event. Okay, I just hit enter. I'm going to wait for it to load because for some reason my internet, I got to go out and crank my Arizona internet a little bit more to get it to work. 2-day workshop, Las Vegas, October 8th and 9th. There you go. Join Steve Scott and Sam Goodman in Las Vegas to explore human and organization performance and operational learning. Lunch included. Seats are limited. If you want to register, email steve@hopimprovement.com to register. And if you want the agenda, the pricing, all that different stuff, all the different things you need, you know, to get approval to come to these things through your work, if you're going that way, just go over to thehopner.com/event. T, no S on that, just event. And there you go. Or you just go to thehopner.com, scroll down, click public events, middle of the page on the landing page, and it'll take you there. And you can see a couple other public events I've got going on. I'm going to be at the Hawkeye and Safety Conference here in a couple weeks. I'm going to be at the Arizona Health and Safety Summit a week or two after that. And then in October, we've got this happening. It's going to be great. It's going to be an absolute blast. Seats are moving fast. So if you want to be there, send Steve an email, steve@hopimprovement.com to register. But where I was going with that is I had a great conversation with Steve on the pod a month or two months ago, something like that. I'm going to have Steve on again here pretty soon where, he said, a leader asked him, like, what does this mean for us? What these principles, what does this mean? Oh my God, the question was, what does success look like? Go back and listen to the episode if you want to, Steve's telling you this. But Steve basically said, to me, success is as a leadership team, when we look at that set of principles and these better beliefs, these better assumptions, really, and we use that as our guide, when we use that as a decision-making tool for us, when we use that as that North Star, when we're doing that and we're doing that consistently, that's what success looks like to me, to tie that back into our definition or our intent. Because when we're leading through that, we're getting good. We're getting stinking good at leading through those, using that as our decision-making tool, using that to temper how we react, moving from react to respond and all that stuff that we talk about. We're getting stinking good at it. We're moving operational learning from possible to likely. Yeah, it's pretty freaking good. Yeah, so next week's episode will be part two. We'll talk 10 ideas. We'll dive into some of those things. I greatly appreciate you being here. As always, again, check out the website. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, anything that you can like, share, and subscribe that we put out. You know, YouTube, podcasts, share, post on social media, interact, post on social media, and on and on and on. It means an absolute ton to us. Check out the merch shop. And again, if you need a hand coming up this fall or into even to next spring, I'm booking dates in next spring. Just send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, everybody, love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. For listening, everybody, we greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.